Tapt Kanchan Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvare Vishubhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So I'm sure that most of you have already heard, perhaps many times, but just to start, we know that Vrishubhanu Maharaj and Madhukirtita, they were desirous of having a child. And the desire was very strong within them. And for whatever reasons, they were not able to conceive a child for a very, very long time. And to invoke auspiciousness and to offer special prayers, they moved to a place called Ravel. And at the time, Ravel was situated just next to the Jamuna. So early every morning, Vrishubhanu Maharaj would go and take bath in the Jamuna, and he would offer special prayers. And one morning, after he was offering his prayers and taking his bath, he saw that there was a very large, beautiful, and effulgent lotus flower. It was multi-petaled. It was said to be some thousand-petaled lotus flower. And it was very effulgent, just like molten gold. And as he looked at the lotus flower, he saw that on the top of it was lying a very small infant. And as he looked closer, he saw that it was a female child. So he quickly picked the child up, and he thought that this was the answer to his prayers. So he quickly took the child back to his wife, Kirtida, and they were beside themselves with great joy that they had this child. But at the same time, they studied the child, and they saw that the child was not opening her eyes. They realized that she was blind. So, of course, this was a concern, but they had such love for the child that this didn't matter too much. So gradually, the child grew, and then the fame of the child spread very widely. And eventually, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda came to know that the child had been born. So they wanted to come and visit, and to get darshan, to see the child. So one day they came, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and also small Krishna came. And when they came in the presence of Radharani, it said that there's different accounts, but one account is that Mother Yashoda, who was holding Krishna, baby Krishna at the time, to set him down in the house of Vrishubhanu Maharaj and picked up Radharani. And when she did that, Krishna started to cry out of feeling, he was feeling neglected. Why has my mother put me down and picked up this other baby? So then when she reached down and picked up Krishna and had both Krishna and Radharani on her lap. And as children often do, Krishna reached out and just touched the lotus eyes of Srimati Radharani. And as soon as he did that, her eyes fluttered open. And the first thing that she saw was none other than Lord Shri Krishna. So this was the reason for which her eyes remained tightly closed. They were to open only to get the darshan of her beloved Krishna. So this is how she appeared. This is her first pastime. No? What tell them?
I have a book full of pastimes. And I was expecting a little more, but
there will be more.
Okay.
After you.
Okay. Anyway, I'll just read a one story, one nice story of Krishna collecting taxes from Radharani. I don't know if you know this story or not. You like that story? I love that story too. One day Sri Krishna, along with his friends, was grazing cows in the forest near a pond. He saw one very beautiful lotus in the pond surrounded by bumblebees who were sucking the nectar from the flowers. This fully blossomed lotus reminded Govinda of the lotus face of his beloved Srimati Radharani. Krishna became impatient and told his cowherd friends, "You all play here for some time on the bank of this pond. I'm going with Subal for a while." When Krishna went with Subal to the place called Dangat, and said to him, "Sakhi, my friend, how can I get darshan of my beloved Radhika?" Subal replied, "I have heard that this morning Radharani came to Yavat, to Vrindavan, to the house of her father. She will definitely come here along with her sakhis in the pretext of performing Surya Puja. If you wait for a moment here, then you will meet her for sure." In the meantime, Radharani and her friends came to Dangat with all the paraphernalia for worshipping Surya. When Radharani saw her dearmost Krishna resting with under a kadamba tree, she told Lalita, "Sakhi, how can I go through this way? Sri Hari will block the road. Let us go through some other way." Lalita said, "You all come with me. Let me see what Krishna can do." All the sakhis started the walk forward, keeping Radharani in the middle. When Krishna saw this, he asked them, "Where are you going? What are you carrying?" "I am sitting here as the tax collector of the king. Can't you see me? You all have to pay a tax. Don't be so proud. I am telling you nicely to pay a small tax here and then go." Hearing this, the friends laughed and continued to walk. Immediately, Krishna ran in front of them and blocked their path. Lalita asked, "What tax are you asking? What did you stop us for on the path? You must give up this cleverness. If you talk more, then we will disclose your activities and qualities in the public." After hearing this from Lalita, Krishna spoke with very gentle and sweet voice. "Listen, Lalita, you do not know me. I have been appointed by the order of the king to collect taxes. If you do not follow my order, then punishment is inevitable. That is why you should now behave properly. There is no need to talk. Just pay the tax and happily go from here. That's it." Lalita said, "Kanai, you know so many clever words. We are helpless girls. What can we say to you? If you think we are bypassing the order of the king, then you do whatever you can do." After hearing this from Lalita, Vishakha said, "Listen, Shaki, what power has he here? What claim has he here? He says he is a tax collector of the king. Wherever the king lives, he has power there. For this forest belongs to Radhika. We are her friends. What can Krishna do here?" Krishna said, "Vishakha, why are you so proud? Kandarpa has claim over everyone. Yet you all, your friends avoid paying the tax and wander all over the forest in an uncontrolled manner. That is why the king has become angry and sent me here. This is why the road has been blocked. If you do not pay the tax, then I will have to take you to the king." Vishakha said, What can your king do to us? Just see, in front of us, Vrishabhanavi Devi is present. We know that the power of your king very well. All his pride has been cut to with a glance of Radharani. Not only that, but whenever your king hears this name of Radharani, he runs away. You are all his followers, a servant." Vishakha started to walk away, taking Radharani with her. Then Krishna again moved in front of them and said, "I know very well that you all like to see me punished by the king. Then listen, I'm telling you the truth. You cannot escape me in any way. No tricks will work here. With great pride, Lalita said, "O Murari, what tax do you want?" Krishna replied, "Lalita, you are hiding the full bloom of your youth under your cloth. You'll have to pay a tax with this material." Hearing Krishna speak like this, all the girls laughed and said, "A tax collector who asks for a tax on material and conceals our youth? Have you heard of such a thing? Now we are understanding why you have become a tax collector and wander all over the forest." Amongst themselves, the gopis said, "Let us go to worshiping Surya Dev. There is no need for us to discuss anything with him." When Krishna saw that the friends starting to walk away again, he stopped them and said, "Listen to me. You friends of Radha have stolen the jewel of my mind. Due to the absence of that jewel, my life has become unbearable. You should tell her to give me back my jewel immediately." In reply, Lalita said, "Krishna, how can you speak so many lies? My girlfriend is very sober. When did she steal your jewel? You have stolen the mind of so many young girls of Gokul. Due to the loss of their minds, they have been searching for you throughout the forest. You do not see your fault in giving bad name to others." Krishna said, "Lalita, I do not speak lies. Ask Radharani. If she will not speak, then listen to me. One day, Vishakha and I quarreled, and all Yusaka stole my mind, and since then Radha has kept her inner under her breast. If you do not believe me, believe my words, then let me show you." Saying this, Krishna walked toward Radharani, raising his hand to touch her, and at that time all the Shakis left the Kunja. Hare Krishna.
There's kind of also a follow-up to that. There's a place called Dhanivartanan Kund. And this is the place where the tax was kind of reclaimed. And after Krishna kind of embarrassed Radharani and her associates, they never forgot that. And they made a scheme. And in this one place called Dhanivartanan Kund, they arranged to surround Krishna and his associates. By that time, Krishna, he was becoming quite cocky. He was thinking that, you know, he was invincible and that no one could touch him. But Radharani had something else in mind. So what happened was is that when Krishna was there with a smaller group of his friends, they were surrounded by Radharani and her associates, unknown to them. They gradually surrounded them, completely surrounded them. And when the right signal was given, they attacked. And because Krishna was far outnumbered, Radharani and the gopis did such things as, well, take the sikas of some of the cowherd boys and tie them to the branches of trees, and even box them a bit, taught them a good lesson. So then they actually brought Krishna to his knees, literally, and they asked him, "So now it's your turn to pay the tax." And Krishna said, "Well, I really don't have anything at all." And then the gopis then said, "Well, then what you will do for your tax is that you will have to bow down and touch your forehead to the feet of Srimati Radharani." And seemingly Krishna was displaying all kinds of signs of you know, disgust and thinking, well, you know, I have to touch the feet of someone. But internally, he was feeling great bliss that he was able to touch the lotus feet of his beloved Srimati Radharani. So he touched her feet, and the tax was then repaid, and at least for the time being, a truce was made, And they went along their merry way. Yes.
Yeah, Adhavar.
Srimati Radharani ki. Next.
Another story?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, this is one when Krishna hides in a box to meet Radharani. Early one morning, Krishna visited Yashoda at Nanda's house and found Yashoda Devi placing beautiful cloth and assorted items in a large box. He said to Yashoda, "My dear mother, what are you busy with so early in the morning?" Yashoda Devi replied, "Darling Krishna, I'm preparing one box." Krishna asked, "What are you doing so carefully keeping in this box?" Yashoda replied, "Mo, my son, what is the use for you to know this? Better you go and play with your friends." Krishna said, "My dear mother, I desire very much to know what you're keeping in this box. Please tell me. If you do not tell me, then I will take the box with me and run away." Yashoda replies, "Dear son, inside the box I have sandalwood, camphor, precious stones, musk, kumkum, which are all used to smear on the body. I also have gold, earrings, bracelets, beautiful vidurya money, a spiritual gem which can display different colors, ornaments made from white pearls, very expensive cloth for wearing." Krishna asked, "My dear mother, whatever you have kept here in this box, are these items meant for me or for my older brother Balaram?" Yashoda replied, "This box for you and Balaram are very much larger and more opulent than this box. I have kept those separately." Krishna asked, "Then if this is neither for me nor Balaram, then whom are you preparing this box? Who is so dear to you?" Mother Yashoda replied, "My dear son, due to my pious activities and previous austerities, Vidya has given me a son like you to perfect my life. In the same way, in this Gokula, there is a girl who is just like medicine in the protection of my life. She is like a mountain of camphor for my burning eyes. I am preparing this box for her to keep and keep her dresses and ornaments in. That girl is all good qualities. She is very simple, beautiful, humble, and innocent. In this way, she has been endowed with all the good qualities that a lady should have. Her name is Radha. I have always felt natural love for her." As soon as Krishna heard the name Radha from the mouth of his mother Yashoda, his hair stood on end, and again he asked with eagerness, "Oh, mother, who is this girl? Whose daughter is she? Where does she live? How is it that you have developed so much affection towards her? Please tell me all these things." Mother Yashoda replied, "My dear son, please listen. This girl has taken birth from the mouth, from the womb of my friend Kirtida, who has just delivered her whole dynasty into King Vrishabhanu. The girl is now staying with her husband within her husband's house in the village called Yavat. Now her husband, Abhimanyu, has come to our house to meet with her, your father, regarding some business. He now sits outside talking to your father. When they have finished speaking, I will ask him to take the box with him to Radha." At this time, one maidservant named Langavatik approached Mother Yashoda and told her, the two goldsmiths you called me, Ranga and Tanga, have come to meet you." After hearing this, Yashoda and Dhanishta, "I'm going to meet with the goldsmiths to order golden helmets, earrings, and bracelets for Krishna. You please take this box and keep inside the house." Then Rajeshwari Yashoda left the room. Krishna decided to have some fun. Calling his friends to help him carry the box to a secluded place, he emptied the box of its content and climbed inside, asking Subal to lock the box. After finishing her business with the goldsmith, Mother Yashoda returned to the room. Then Abhimanyu came to meet with her. Mother Yashoda told Abhiram, "Dear Abhiram, I have filled this box with all kinds of beautiful jewels, ornaments, cosmetics, and silk cloth for you to take to Radha. Please take this box with her. To her and tell her inside the box sent by me are ornaments to decorate your body which are most effulgent. By wearing these ornaments you'll become most fortunate." Returning to Yavat with the box, Abhimanyu said to himself, "Rajeshwari Yashoda has given all kinds of valuable ornaments. I will buy millions of cows with this wealth." Thus, Krishna was carried first by Abhimanyu to his beloved Radha, smiling and as Abhimanyu's words were enjoying his fun. Abhimanyu took the box to his house and placed it in front of his mother, Jatila. Dear mother, today I have visited Yashoda Devi's house. She fed me with all her affection, and she has sent all kinds of valuable ornaments for your daughter-in-law, Radha, and has blessed her to be the most fortunate by wearing these ornaments. After hearing this from her son, Jatila thought, today Radha will be very happy to see that Abhimanyu has brought all these gifts from Yashoda. She told Abhimanyu, oh, my son, the box is very heavy. Neither Kutila, Radha, nor I can carry this heavy box. It is better that you carry the box and place it on the veranda of Radha's bedroom. Then Radha can take the items from the box very easily. Being ordered thus by his mother, Abhimanyu carried the box upstairs to the bedroom of Radharani. From a distance, Radha and Lalita could see this box. Radharani said, Lalita, I am suffering so much separation from Krishna, but now my left breast, my left hand, my left eye are trembling, which indicates my good fortune. By seeing this box, I am feeling so much happiness in my heart. Maybe due to my good fortune, there is something inside this box which is very, very dear to me. Lalita said, oh, Sakhi, today Abhimanyu visited Vajrasuri, Yashoda's house. I think she has given some valuable ornaments and for decorating your body. That is what the left side of your body is trembling. Meanwhile, Abhimanyu reached Sri Radharani's inner room and placed the box on her veranda. He then left for the pasturing grounds and take care of the cows. After he left, both Lalita and Vishaka carried the box inside the room. The box was so heavy. Feeling the heaviness of the box, Lalita said, oh, Radharani, from the weight of this box and from the auspicious signs in your body, we can understand that Yashoda has given many, many diamonds, pearls, and gold for decorating your body. The gopis surrounded the box, and Radha opened it. When she opened it, Krishna inside. She gasped with delight, and the Sakhi stared with laughter, started to laugh, and clapped their hands, saying, oh, and who is this? Radha immediately felt shy. She was in her own home and was not properly dressed and ornamented, and she was thus shy to see Krishna in that state. Before Radha could leave, Krishna jumped out of the box, embraced her. Lalita said, oh, Radha, who has arrived in this box and is blessed? Your husband, who has carried the box on his head, is blessed. Yashoda, who has sent this box, is blessed. For whom this box has been sent, are also blessed, along with you and your whole family. So you must accept the item that is arrived in the box as an ornament to decorate your body. Oh, my dear Lalita, this Krishna has come here inside the box. He has stolen all the ornaments sent by Yashoda. You should go quickly and call my mother-in-law, Jatila, and bring her here. Looking at Krishna, Lalita said, oh, Radha, you have stolen all the Krishna, you have stolen all the ornaments sent by Mother Yashoda and have come here inside this box. You must give up all those valuable ornaments and dresses. Otherwise, we will call Jatila here and give up your proper punishment. Then Krishna said to Lalita, do you think I'm so cunning? It is your Sakhi Radhika who is cunning one. I am sitting in this box in my house having some fun. Your Radhika has brought me here by the agent of her husband. Then Krishna turned to Radharani. Oh, Radhe, I have removed all the goods from this box and entrusted them to Dhanishta, who was meant to send them to you. My friends and I are simply having fun within the box, and they locked me inside. By mistake, my husband has brought me here, and without knowing I was in it. How then does the fault lie with me? Looking at Lalita, Krishna said, dear Sakhi, I have explained everything to you. Now will you please judge who is at fault? If it is Radha, then I will punish her by binding her in the arms. If it is yours at fault, then I will arrest. Then you all arrest me and keep me here day and night to punish me. Lalita gave her judgment and said that both Radha and Krishna were at fault, and that they both should be punished. At this time, Dhanishta reached Radha's home with all the ornaments and silk cloth. And the Sakhis dressed Radha and decorated her with ornaments. Then Radharani and Krishna bound each other with their arms and enjoyed. No one can other than Radhika and Krishna can, and the Sakyas knew anything about the incident as it was arranged by Yogamaya. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai.
So in the Nectar of Instruction, there's a verse. It says, the holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura, Puri is a transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was a site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is the intelligent person who is unwilling to serve his divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So, how did Radha Kund come into being? This is also a really nice pastime. In one pastime, Krishna kills a demon in the form of a bull. That demon was named Aristasura. And after he killed the bull, Radharani and her friends, they started to criticize Krishna, saying that, well, you've committed a great sin. You've killed a bull. So you have to go and take bath in the sacred rivers to cleanse yourself of that sin. Of course, Krishna didn't want to take a lot of time. He didn't want to be separated from Radharani and the gopis. So what he did was, is he took his lotus foot, he just kind of stepped in the ground, and he made a small imprint. When he did that, he simultaneously called all of the sacred rivers to fill up that imprint, which eventually filled up to the extent of becoming the Shyamakund. And then he took bath in the sacred rivers to fulfill the desire of Srimati Radharani. And after he did that, then he challenged Radharani and the gopis, saying, you say that I'm contaminated because I've killed this bull, although he was a demon, but I say that you're contaminated because you're taking the side of this demon in the form of the bull Aristasura. So I say that you have to take a bath and purify yourself. So at this point, Krishna was very benevolent. He said, but you can take bath in my kund if you wish. But Radharani didn't want anything to do with that. She said, no, we'll make our own kund. So she created a chain of her many associates all the way from Manasi Ganga, and pot by pot, well, first of all, they actually dug the kund with their bangles. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's not easy. With their bangles, they dug and they dug and they dug, and they made this huge cavity. And then they created this human chain. They took the pot, and one by one, they gradually filled this kund. But as Krishna was seeing this, he couldn't bear to see even a one drop of perspiration coming from the forehead of Srimati Radharani. So he then said, well, won't you allow me to fill your kund? And of course, Srimati Radharani didn't want anything to do with that. She said, no, we'll do it ourselves. So then Krishna called again the personification of the sacred rivers to fill her kund. And he arranged for the personification of the sacred rivers to actually approach her and humbly ask, "Can we please be allowed to fill your kund?" Although she knew that this was Krishna making all these arrangements, still she submitted and she allowed the personification of these sacred rivers to fill her kund. And what happened was at that point, the wall that was just dividing what was Shamakund broke through to what was to become Radhakund and then filled her kund. And then they all were able to take bath. They were all purified. And this place, Radhakund, then became the most sacred place, as mentioned here by Srila Rupa Goswami, anywhere in the three worlds. Yeah. Srimati Radharani ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One thing I learned from His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami's clear thinking and strong speaking class was don't speak because you have to say something, but speak because you have something to say. What I have on my mind to say now relates to a discussion we had earlier in the day, which was not completed at the time because of the Abhishek, which was wonderful. So I thought I would speak a little on the question that was asked about different, devotees not diverting their attention to any form besides Krishna. And what I was saying in it was that everyone has a natural attraction, eventually, when we're liberated, at least free from anarthas, pretty much, would have a natural attraction and to a particular form of the Lord. And whatever the form is, the person would be most satisfied in his relationship with that particular form and in his or her particular relationship. So it's not like, And then about separation, there is a pastime that took place at Prem Sarovara. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? And how many have been to Prem Sarovara? Well, Prem Sarovara is on the way to Varshana. And in this sacred place, Srimati Radharani and Krishna were sitting next to each other. And in fact, Krishna had his divine arm around the transcendental body of Srimati Radharani. Now, of course, we know that all of the, you know, Krishna's body is Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And Srimati Radharani is also, she is Mahabhav Swarupini. She's like the personification of Mahabhav. Her whole body, her whole existence is Mahabhav, which is the highest extreme of ecstatic, pure love for Krishna. So, while they were embracing, a bumblebee came around, perhaps mistaking Radharani for a lotus flower, and was looking for some nectar. But Madhu Mangal, Krishna's Brahmin friend, could see that this bee was hovering around and disturbing Srimati Radharani. So he took a stick and shooed the bee away. And when he had done so, he returned and said that the madhu is gone and will never come back. So madhu can refer to a bee and also to Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani heard these words, that the madhu has gone away and will never return, she thought of Krishna. And although she was in Krishna's embrace, she was plunged into an extraordinarily deep mood of separation from Krishna. And nothing could get her out of it. And she was crying and crying and crying. And Krishna, seeing Radharani in such a state, also began to cry. And their tears made a pond, that is Prem Sarovara, that is made of their love, in the form of their tears. So later, Krishna considered this issue of separation, that as long as he's personally present in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan are always filled with fear of separation from him. And he considered that association with him does not depend on physical association. And that if he left Vrindavan, then his devotees would not be preoccupied with that thought of his, quote, physical or personal presence or absence. But they could associate with him internally. And soon after the pastime in which Krishna killed Aristasura, as you may know, Kamsa sent Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And while leaving, Krishna assured the gopis, "I shall return." But apparently, Krishna did not return. So learned scholars have raised the question, what does this mean? Was he incapable of keeping his promise? Or was he a liar who gave his word without any intention of fulfilling it? And the Acharya's answer, no, it's not that he was incapable of fulfilling his promise or that he gave a false promise. This is explained in the Krishna book. And they explained that Krishna was always present in Vrindavan in his bhava expansion. He was like invisible in one sense, but in another sense, he was present. And later, when Krishna sent Uddhava to deliver his message of consolation to Srimati Radharani and the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam describes a scene that is very joyful. The women are churning butter and singing songs about Krishna. And the cows are playing and frolicking, and everyone is very happy and joyful, just like when Krishna was there. And then when he arrives in Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam describes a very different scene, that the devotees are almost dead in separation. They are not eating. They're not bathing. They're not putting on fresh cloth. They're hardly maintaining their bodies and souls together. And so the Acharyas explain that there are, as you say, sort of two manifestations of Vrindavan, two dimensions. And in one, Krishna is there. In that bhava expansion, Vrindavana parityaja eka padam nagacchati. Krishna does not take one step out of Vrindavan. And in the other, the devotees are externally experiencing symptoms of separation from Krishna. So this is a, a lesson for us, or an indication for us, that when our feelings of separation are strong enough, they bring us to the point of meeting, if not externally, then internally. And There's a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in which one gopi says to another, you know, looking at the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, of course, their real interest was Krishna. I mean, yes, Balaram was the older brother, but their romantic interest was in Krishna. But they had to be very careful of what they said because they were trying to hide their feelings for Krishna, because such feelings were considered not just inappropriate, but unconscionable, because they were already married, or else they were unmarried and under the protection of their elders. So to cover their special interest in Krishna, they would talk about the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. And so one gopi said to the other, describing their beauty, that there is no greater object of vision. We might have got a little sense of that when we saw the deities. Shri Radha Kala Chandra. There's no greater object of vision. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the purport, which is that why are we staying at home, worrying about what our parents or husbands or mothers-in-law or sisters-in-law will think or say or do? There is no higher object of vision than Krishna or Krishna and Balaram. So we should go. We should not worry about all these things. We should just go. Sometimes we also have these dualities. We want to go to the temple. We want to go to Vrindavan. But our duties, our spouses, our parents, our children, should I, shouldn't I? So the gopis were also perturbed by such questions, of course, on a very high transcendental level. And this is a very intricate topic because it's actually too intricate. Not too intricate for you to understand, but just too intricate to discuss in our limited time. But when they're feelings of separation were too strong, or their desire was too strong, they actually did leave their homes to meet Krishna. But by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, a sort of a duplicate body was left at home. So none of their relatives got upset. Otherwise, if their relatives knew that they had left home, spent the night with Krishna, they would not have been welcomed back. But because of this special arrangement, they were able to spend the night with Krishna and come back, because to the vision of their family members, they had been at home. So this is also an art. Of course, again, that's on a different level, but this is also an art. How to fulfill our desires to serve Krishna and Radharani and not upset our family members too much. A little bit, of course, people are always getting upset anyway. You know, whether you go to Krishna or don't go to Krishna, people get upset with us. Might not like the way we squeeze the toothpaste. I mean, there's always going to be some issue. So we can't avoid the issues. But still, we want a sort of peaceful, relatively peaceful, stable, secure environment in which to practice Krishna consciousness. And so we have to sort of learn how to serve Krishna, fulfill our desire, which is really Krishna's desire, Mahaprabhu's desire, Nityananda Prabhu's desire, Prabhupada's desire, that we serve Krishna, but at the same time maintain a relatively peaceful situation at home. Of course, Krishna has his own plan for each of us. Radharani's mercy will manifest in the lives of each of us in different ways. We have to be open to that, but that's the general idea. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Giridhari Swami, you might have noticed a similarity in our names. Giridhari means the lifter of the Giri, Govardhan Hill, and Giriraj means the hill. So in case you don't know, I'm actually being held up by Giridhari Swami. And he has ordered me to continue speaking. So So coming back to this this question of separation, which is so much Radharani's mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. When we talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming in the mood of Radharani, it's mainly in the mood of separation. In the Gambira, in his room in Jagannath Puri, how he was experiencing extreme feelings of separation from Krishna. That was actually Radharani's mood of separation from Krishna. And in fact, when Krishna left the rasa dance, how many of you have read Krishna book? Every devotee should read Krishna book. In fact, even if you're not a devotee, you should read Krishna book. And you'll become a devotee. But so you know that Krishna played on his flute, stood under the Vamsivat tree near the Yamuna River and played on his flute. And that the sound of Krishna's flute is actually one of his messengers. In Vrindavan, there are messengers or duties because there's so much concealment in Vrindavan because of Parakya Ras. So one of Krishna's messengers or duties is his flute, the sound of his flute. And so when he played upon his flute, he was sending a personal message to each and every gopika, calling them to be with him, telling them where he was and how much he was missing them and how much he needed them. So each one got this personal invitation from Krishna, unaware that other gopis were also going to meet him. And so they rushed to Vamsivat. And Krishna reciprocated with them. But then after some time, he left them. And they were all plunged into separation. And at first, Krishna... So when the gopis were looking for Krishna, they saw that there were two pairs of footprints. And then they understood that Krishna was not alone, but that he had gone away with some other gopi. And in the transcendental arrangements for Parakya Ras in Vrindavan, Radharani has her rival named Chandravali. And then Radharani has her gopis who are attached to her, and Chandravali has her gopis who are attached to her. So when the gopis in Radharani's camp saw that, oh, Krishna's with Radha, they were very happy. So they were in a hurry to catch up to Radha and Krishna so they could assist the divine couple in their pastimes. And the others, well, they weren't so happy. But then Krishna, he also left Radharani. It's all described in Srimad Bhagavatam or the Krishna book, how Radharani. Yeah, so Krishna, yeah, Radharani told Krishna, you can take me wherever you like. Now this is very different from Radharani's usual mood, because in among the gopis, so there are two general moods among the gopis. One is Vamya Bhav, which means left wing, and the other is Dakshina Bhav, which means right wing. So in Vamya Bhav, the gopis, and the leader is Radharani. Radharani and her associates, they believe that Krishna is more pleased when they are contrary to his wishes. And Chandravali and her supporters believe that they should please Krishna, or devotees should please Krishna by doing what Krishna asks. So in this context, Vamya means contrary, and Dakshina means favorable. Therefore, we give dakshina to sadhus so that they'll be favorable to us, or so that we'll remain favorable to them. But so transcendentally, Radharani is in that Vamya Bhav of contrariness. And in the science of rasa, Madhurya Ras, the Ras increases when there's contrariness. So when Radharani told Krishna, you can take me wherever you like, Krishna thought, what is this? She's agreeing? She never agrees. And for the Rus to be strong, one of the parties has to disagree. So Krishna thought, well, if she's not going to be contrary, then I will have to be contrary. And so he left her. He disappeared. And so eventually all the different groups of gopis who Krishna had called with his flute, they came upon Srimati Radharani in such intense separation that they had never seen before. Hare Krishna. And that is also part so when the other gopis, even the rival gopis, saw Radharani in such extreme separation, They felt sympathetic toward her. That is also... Yes, so I'll just wind up quickly. So that is also, it's part of Madhurya Rasa, and in a way it's just part of any devotee's heart to feel sympathy. So all the gopis, even the rivals, they felt sympathetic toward Srimati Radharani. And then they all together, as one group, united, began to look for Krishna. And when their separation reached the highest level, Krishna appeared before them again. And this was one of Krishna's inner motives, that initially he had called all the gopis individually through his flute. But when they got there, different gopis were having different thoughts that, oh, That one, you call that one too? And that one, and that group is there, and that group is there. So they were not united. And there was some, you could say, transcendental envy or jealousy. But Krishna, in this particular case, he had other pastimes with select groups, but in this particular case, he wanted all the gopis to be united. And so he left them with Radharani. And then when he left Radharani and they saw how extreme her separation was, which means how deep her love and attachment for Krishna was, they felt sympathetic for her, and they also felt, no, none of us has such feelings for Krishna as she has. They accepted. And then all those feelings were gone, and all the gopis were united as one group, and then together they sang out their songs of separation. And again, when their Sankirtan, this is Sankirtan, all together calling out to Krishna, singing the glories of Krishna, when their Sankirtan reached that stage of separation with tears of love for Krishna, Krishna reappeared. This is also an instruction how we can attract Krishna through Sankirtan, all together, united, but with love in feelings of separation. And then... Again, so the gopis felt that when Krishna reappeared, it was as if their lives had come back into their bodies. But still, some of the gopis harbored some feeling that we left everything to come to Krishna in the middle of the night, in the dead of night, and Krishna left us. He didn't reciprocate properly. So there was some discussion. And as I mentioned in the morning, Krishna gave the example that when a rich man loses his money, He might take it for granted when he has it, but when he loses it, he thinks of it all the time. So Krishna gave that example, and he said that, in effect, he said that, I know your heart's innermost desire. Your innermost desire is to increase your love for me. So by my separating myself from you, I was actually reciprocating with your deepest desire to increase your love for me. Jai Sri Krishna.
Jai Radhe.
But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there because the nature of the gopi's love and Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is that it's always increasing. He doesn't have to do anything to make it increase. It's always increasing. So what was the real reason? So in the end, Krishna admits that actually I'm unable to repay my debt to you. In other words, he admitted, I can't reciprocate. What you have done for me, I cannot do for you. And so as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he he showed us the confidential feelings of Radharani. And as Krishna, he felt separation just like Radharani felt. And so just one last pastime, very sweet pastime. In Vrindavan, there's a place called Imlital. How many of you have been to Imlital? Yes, Imlital is a tree. So when Krishna left Radharani, so in separation, she rested at that tree. And she was so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that her body turned sham. It became blackish. Later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, but with the complexion of Radharani, he also came to the same place, to the same tree. And in the mood of intense... Wait a minute. Anyway, in the mood of intense separation from Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu... Wait, I got something wrong here. Anyway, one of the times Krishna became white. maybe it was, sorry about this, that the first time Krishna went, and thinking of Radharani, he turned white, whitish, gauri. And then the second time is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani, he turned sham. So there are, of course, we have Radhakala Chandi, there are ISKCON temples where Krishna is whitish. Juhu, Radharasa Bihari. But there is a form of Krishna at Imlital, feeling separation from Radharani, where he was so absorbed in thoughts of her that he turned gaudy. Yeah, and then when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Krishna, he turned sham. Anyway, whatever good I have said, it is my credit, and whatever bad I have said, it is His Holiness Giri Hari Swami's fault, because he told me to speak. Hare Krishna.
So on that note, it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, in his spoken lectures or his room conversations, his talks, he really doesn't speak very much about Srimati Radharani. We find in the Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, Nectar of Devotion, and a few other places, he speaks some of the pastimes and some of the philosophy. But when it comes to spoken, he speaks very little. And in all of the talks that he gave on Radhastami, you know, he often starts with, "Today is the most auspicious appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Deyan yoshmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jara. You're not the body." And then he goes on for the whole lecture to explain that you're not the body. Now, there may have been reasons for which he did that, perhaps to bring devotees up gradually, the audience he was speaking to. But on the other hand, it's clear that he had so much faith for Srimati Radharani. He constantly was chanting the holy name. When we talk about Hare, we're addressing Srimati Radharani, so he's always speaking her name. But there's one nice passage from a lecture that he gave in 1971, which was in London. And he really says it all right here. He says, "So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however fool I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore, in Vrindavan, you'll find all the devotees, they're chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you'll find the devotees are addressing Jai Radhe.
Jai Radhe.
You'll find still in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They're more interested worshiping Radharani, because however fallen I may be, if some way or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Srimati Radharani ki." And in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think we should do a little Sankirtan right now. As we have this wonderful darshan, we should take advantage, chant for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji. Okay?